Chapter 11. The front door was slightly cracked, and at 8 o'clock in the morning with no one living there, it was indeed an ominous sign. Ray stared at it for a long minute, not certain if he wanted to step inside, but knowing he had no choice. He shoved it wider, clenched his fists as if the thief just still might be in there, and took a very deep breath. It swung open, creaking every inch of the way, and when the light fell upon the stacks of boxes in the foyer, Ray saw muddy footprints on the floor. The assailant had entered from the rear lawn, where there was mud, and for some reason had chosen to leave through the front door. Ray slowly removed the pistol from his pocket. The 27 green Blake & Son boxes were scattered around the judge's study. The sofa was overturned. The doors to the cabinet below the bookshelves were open. The roll top appeared to be unmolested, but the papers from the desk were scattered on the floor. The intruder had removed the boxes, opened them, and finding them empty, had evidently stomped them and thrown them in a fit of rage. As still as things were, Ray felt the violence, and it made him weak. The money could get him killed. When he was able to move, he fixed the sofa and picked up the papers. He was gathering boxes when he heard something on the front porch. He peeked through the window and saw an old woman tapping on the front door. Claudia Gates had known the judge like no one else. She had been his court reporter, secretary, driver, and many other things, according to gossip that had been around since Ray was a small boy. For almost 30 years, she and the judge had traveled the 6 counties of the 25th district together, often leaving Clanton at 7 in the morning and returning long after dark. When they were not in court, they shared the judge's office in the courthouse, where she typed the transcripts while he did his paperwork. A lawyer named Turley had once caught them in a compromising position during lunch at the office, and he made the awful mistake of telling others about it. He lost every case in Chancery Court for a year and couldn't buy a client. It took 4 years for Judge Attlee to get him disbarred.
"Hello, Ray," she said through the screen. "May I come in?"
"Sure," he said, and opened the door wider. Ray and Claudia had never liked each other. He had always felt that she was getting the attention and affection that he and Forrest were not, and she viewed him as a threat as well. When it came to Judge Attlee, she viewed everyone as a threat. She had few friends and even fewer admirers. She was rude and callous because she spent her life listening to trials, and she was arrogant because she whispered to the great man.
"I'm very sorry," she said.
"So am I." As they walked by the study, Ray pulled the door closed and said, "Don't go in there." Claudia did not notice the intruder's footprints.
"Be nice to me, Ray," she said.
"Why?" They went to the kitchen where he put up some coffee, and they sat across from each other.
"Can I smoke?" she asked.
"I don't care," he said. "Smoke till you choke, old gal." His father's black suits had always carried the acrid smell of her cigarettes. He had allowed her to smoke in the car, in chambers, in his office, probably in bed, everywhere but the courtroom. The raspy breath, the gravelly voice, the countless wrinkles clustered around the eyes. Ah, the joys of tobacco. She had been crying, which was not an insignificant event in her life. When he was clerking for his father one summer, Ray had had the misfortune of sitting through a gut-wrenching child abuse case. The testimony had been so sad and pitiful that everyone, including the judge and all the lawyers, were moved to tears. The only dry eyes in the courtroom belonged to old stone-faced Claudia.
"I can't believe he's dead," she said, then blew a puff of smoke toward the ceiling.
"He's been dying for 5 years, Claudia. This is no surprise."
"It's still sad."
"It's very sad. But he was suffering at the end. Death was a blessing."
"He wouldn't let me come see him."
"We're not rehashing history, okay?" The history, depending on which version you believed, had kept Clanton buzzing for almost 2 decades. A few years after Ray's mother died, Claudia divorced her husband for reasons that were never clear. One side of town believed the judge had promised to marry her after her divorce. The other side of town believed the judge, forever an Attlee, never intended to marry such a commoner as Claudia, and that she got a divorce because her husband caught her fooling around with yet another man. Years passed with the two enjoying the benefits of married life, except for the paperwork and actual cohabitation. She continued to press the judge to get married. He continued to postpone things. Evidently, he was getting what he wanted. Finally, she put forth an ultimatum, which proved to be a bad strategy. Ultimatums did not impress Reuben Attlee. The year before he got booted from office, Claudia married a man 9 years younger. The judge promptly fired her, and the coffee shops and knitting clubs talked of nothing else. After a few rocky years, her younger man died. She was lonely, so was the judge. But she had betrayed him by remarrying, and he never forgave her.
"Where's Forrest?" she asked.
"He should be here soon."
"How is he?"
"He's Forrest."
"Do you want me to leave?"
"It's up to you."
"I'd rather talk to you, Ray. I need to talk to someone."
"Don't you have friends?"
"No. Reuben was my only friend."
He cringed when she called him Reuben. She stuck the cigarette between her gluey red lips, a pale red for mourning, not the bright red she was once known for. She was at least 70, but wearing it well. Still straight and slim, and wearing a tight dress that no other 70-year-old woman in Ford County would attempt. She had diamonds in her ears and one on her finger, though he couldn't tell if they were real. She was also wearing a pretty gold pendant and 2 gold bracelets.